Georgia. Poor Georgia. Oh, poor Georgia. Maybe you should say poor Atlanta. The great one is drinking a beer, an upslope blood orange saison.
Just on the border of your waking mind, there lies another time where darkness and light are one. And as you tread the halls of sanity, you feel so glad to be unable to go beyond. I have a message from another time.
I have a message from Ancapadice. Ancapadice says, fuck you. So I needed to bump out a podcast because I'm going to be working all day tomorrow, unfortunately. You know, creating value for other people instead of being a parasite. And I was looking through my notes here and I got a bunch of little small random things I can talk about. And that's great. And I figured, oh, I got this other thing I want to do. I'm going to get that out of the way. So we're going to play a particular song at the beginning of this episode, and then we're going to talk about the lyrics to this song. And I'm going to read them to you because it's really hard to understand them. You'll hear why, and the song is mixed this way. And then, of course, the internet blessed me with more material. The stupidity of the statist never ceases to amaze me. The fact that you people put so much confidence in the government, and the government cannot even perform the most basic functions of day-to-day living in the 20th century. Wait, it's the 21st century. Right? Whatever century it is. I don't even fucking know.
This is Radio Freedom.
Indeed they do.
Water gets below. Seems was not very long ago. Lovelier she was than any that I know. Angels never know it's time to close the book and gracefully decline. The song has found a tale. My, what a jealous fool is she. The face in the water looks up. She shakes her head as if to say that the blue girls have all gone away.
Thank you.
That right there was the song Ripples from Genesis. Back in the days when, now actually this is after Peter Gabriel left, Phil Collins was still there, before they started singing sappy love songs all the time. It's off the album A Trick of the Tail, which is one of my favorite Genesis albums. Now, as you notice there, so it's very quiet and subtle at some points, and you can't hardly really understand the lyrics, and then it gets going. So yeah, this was what the old Genesis sounds like. If, when I say Genesis, and you're not thinking about the book of the Bible, if you're thinking about the band, and you're thinking about the new Genesis, the recent Genesis, well, it's not really recent anymore, I haven't done anything in years, but the last dying gasp of Genesis was your 3-minute, 40-second pop songs about love and shit like that, for the most part. And Phil Collins' desire to write sappy-ass love songs sort of took control of the band. But this is from back in the day. I was sitting around the other day, and I'm not exactly sure how my brain first went here, but I was thinking about this song and what it was about, and I've always known what it was about. And then I realized, wait a minute, this is... And when I I don't know when. Let me type this in. Genesis discography. Trick of the Tail came out. Genesis discography, Wikipedia, 70s, I want to say. Trick of the Tail. 1976, same year Wind and Weathering was released, which is also another of my very favorite Genesis albums. 1978 is when And Then There Were Three was released, which is, other than, what do we got over here? They got their very last album, Calling All Stations. That's after Phil Collins was gone. That was crap. And we've got We Can't Dance. That was crap. Invisible Touch had two good songs on it. The rest was crap. Genesis was borderline. As far as I'm concerned, the album Abacab, which came out in 1981, was the last actual Genesis album. Everything after that was... I mean, there's some moments that are okay, but everything after Abacab was garbage. So of the Genesis discography from Genesis to Revelation, which is their first album, which is also fucking amazing, all the way up to Abacab, And Then There Were Three is the one album I just, there's just nothing going on there. I don't know what happened when they recorded that, but it's like they were dead. So anyhow, Trick of the Tail, 1976, that's what that comes from. And I'm looking at this, what? The Squonk Pool of Tears. Yep. Anyway, Trick of the Tail's got some great shit on it. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, the song Ripples might be, chronologically speaking, the first song that was written about women hitting the wall. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but it's the earliest one I can think of. So if you know a song about women hitting the wall that was written, recorded, composed, yada, 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 prior to, when the fuck did I just say this was recorded? 1976. The 200th anniversary of the United States. This was maybe part of their 1776 bicentennial celebration. I don't know. Okay, I have too many windows on the fucking computer to juggle. Here we go. All right. Let's go through the lyrics of this song. Blue girls come in every size. Some are wise and some otherwise. They got pretty blue eyes. Blue girls. Now, this might be a little bit of foreshadowing, harking to the future when women would have blue hair. And he says, some are wise and some otherwise. Well, we know what that means. Because, yeah, some girls are smart and some girls otherwise. For an hour a man may change. For an hour her face looks strange, looks strange, looks strange. Now, this may be a reference to the shrapnel that women have in their face nowadays, right? Because for an hour, a man may change, and for an hour, her face looks strange. Because, yeah, like you first meet a woman and she's got all this metal stuck in her face, possibly some tattoos on her nose or her forehead and her neck and everything. It takes you like an hour to get past where you want to vomit and be able to stand being around her. Okay, next. Marching to the promised land where the honey flows and takes you by the hand, pulls you down on your knees. While you're down, a pool appears. Now, this is talking about the woman. The woman is marching into the promised land where there's honey and taking you by the hand and pulling you onto your knees, and this pool appears, right? So the women, they think they're going to this promised land where they're going to find a good man, right? They're going to the man store. And while they're there, there's going to be honey flowing, and they're going to find a good man. But while they're on the way to the man store, they're pulled down to their knees and a pool appears before them. The face in the water looks up and shakes her head as if to say, that's it. That these lyrics are not written correctly. That's the last time you'll look like today. Sail away, away. Ripples never come back. Gone to the other side. Sail away, away. Now, what are we talking about here, sailing away? Well, this is the last time you will look like today. See, because women age poorly. Every girl out there, today is the last time you're going to look like today. Tomorrow, you're going to be older. You'll be a little more wrinkly. You'll be a little more saggy. The ripples never come back. The face that launched 1,000 ships is sinking fast. That happens, you know. The water gets below. Seems not very long ago, lovelier she was than any that I know. I don't think I need to explain this one. Yeah, you're sinking. You're sinking fast. The water gets in there. The weight gains. The sagging begins. You know, not that long ago, you were really hot. Not long ago, you were a 9. Now you're on a destination to Sixville. The ripples never come back, sweetie. They don't come back. Angels never know it's time to close the book and gracefully decline. The song has found a tale. See, this song has found a story to tell. You see, angels, they don't know it's time to close the book and gracefully decline. No, that's why the women's are running around telling us that 40 is the new 20. That's why the women's are running around telling us they can make babies when they're 40 years old, because they froze their sperm and they're going to go on down to the man store and pick up a good man, and he's going to support this kid. My, what a jealous pool she is. The face in the water looks up. She shakes her head as if to say that the blue girls have all gone away. See, the face in the pool of water is looking up at the women and telling them, you're going to hit the wall. This is the best you'll ever look. You will never look this good again in your life. The ripples do not come back. And who is that face in the pool telling women that the ripples don't come back? Well, it's the great one and all the rest, just like me, who are saying unto the girlies, hey, this shit where you're going to put off finding a man until you're 37, you might want to reconsider that shit. But it's okay, don't listen, because remember, some girls are wise and some otherwise. Sail away, away, ripples never come back, because we have to repeat ourselves because women never listen the first time. They've gone to the other side. look into the pool, ripples never come back. Dive to the bottom and go to the top to see where they have gone. Oh, they've gone to the other side. And that's the way, well, they do. They dive to the bottom and they go up to the top and they fucking hamster wheel and they rationalize and they call you a sexist if you're not interested in marrying 40-year-old women with 3 children from 2 baby daddies. Oh, and they do all these flips and their flops and they're desperately searching for where have the ripples gone? Why are there no good men? Well, sweetie, the ripples, they've gone to the other side. They're on the other side of the pool where the other cute girls are at, where the girls who right now, the 20-year-olds are over there. The ripples are over there, not over here where you are with your blue hair and your rescue dogs and your horses and your children and your face piercings and your ADHD and your anxiety disorder and your feminism and your hairy legs. The ripples are on the other fucking side. Sail away, away, ripples never come back. Gone to the other side. Look into the pool. The ripples never come back, come back. Dive to the bottom and go to the top to see where they have gone. They're gone to the other side. Ripples never come back. Sail away, away. I wonder if you could write a song like this in the current year. All right. Meanwhile. Oh, meanwhile, in the world of making fun of statism, let's do that. Give me 1 second here. My attempt to organize my life. So, truly, I was sitting up to do the podcast, and I was just about to close the email, and an email popped up from the WordFence people. WordFence is a security firewall plugin for WordPress. It's the one that I use on my sites. I mean, there's more than one, but WordFence is pretty goddamn reasonable. It's done me well so far. It's protected the Cynical Libertarian Society website from multiple attacks, multiple attempts at hacking the system. I always tell when I piss somebody off because WordFence will email you, if you have it configured to do so, when the attack rate on your website escalates. So I always tell when I've pissed somebody off because the attack rate on the website escalates. The other way I can tell I've pissed off feminist is suddenly I will get this slew of friend requests on Facebook from accounts that don't have pictures but have female names. So I got this email and I glanced it over. I'm like, oh, I need to click on this and see what's going on because I haven't heard anything about this. So let's hop on over here and we're going to talk about computer security, which I've talked about before. We're going to talk about backing up. And on top of all that, we're going to get in some statism. Because after all, right, without the government, who would build roads? All right. And I'll put the link to this in the show notes. In the past few days, the city of Atlanta has been hit with a ransomware attack. Several major computer systems that provide city services have been encrypted by an attacker. We're off to a bad start. The attacker is demanding $51,000 worth of Bitcoin to decrypt the system. And the city has not yet ruled out paying the ransom. And when we say the city has not yet ruled out paying $51,000 to decrypt their computers, what we mean, of course, is that the taxpayers have not yet overthrown their government in order to prevent their government from giving $51,000 of their money to a cyber terrorist. The attack occurred 5 days ago, and as of this writing, the systems remain inaccessible. Yesterday, Mayor Keisha Lance bottoms. Poor Atlanta. You people elected, and I don't want to assume her gender because just in this picture, I'm not going to guarantee that's a woman. You people elected somebody named Keisha Lance Bottoms. Yesterday, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms held a press conference to chat about the problem, a problem that I'm sure she doesn't fucking understand in the slightest. So far, the mayor and her team seem to be doing a great job of putting together a coordinated and multi-pronged response to deal with the incident. Okay, then why is it still a situation? What do you mean? Well, let's just move forward. And we will see why saying that they're putting together a... Okay, maybe it's coordinated and multi-pronged, but it's not going to accomplish anything. And this praising the government for doing things that aren't going to accomplish anything, that's a good symptom of the sickness of statism. What struck me about the conference is that it was the kind of conference a city holds when dealing with a physical disaster. The mayor actually described it as a, quote, hostage situation, unquote, towards the end of the conference. It is a hostage situation. The taxpayers are being held hostage thanks to the incompetence of the government, coupled with the over-reliance of everybody on computers. And this is part of the point. We, the royal we, as a society, we've become so complacent when it comes to technology, right? A website pops up and asks for your credit card number, you just put it in there. A website wants your email, you just put it in there. You just give your information to the government, and the government's going to store it on a computer. It's perfectly safe. You put your shit in Facebook. What could go wrong? Right? Everybody's become so complacent about technology. You put the wiretap, right, in on your fucking kitchen table. Hey, Alexa! Wiretap my house. Hey, Siri, record my conversations and send them to the NSA. And this is a tangible impact of a cyber attack on a local government. The city of Atlanta is working with the Secret Service, FBI, Department of Homeland Security, my tax money in action, and academic and private institutions, including Georgia Tech and SecureWorks. Why? Okay, first of all, why? What do you mean you're working with them? Your shit is encrypted. You're not going to break the encryption. Why don't you just erase all the computers? So I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry, guys. Okay, look, we're gonna work with the Secret Service and the FBI and Homeland Security and teachers and Georgia Tech and Secure. Why? You're not gonna break the encryption. Why don't you just restore everything from your backups? That's right. You don't have any backups because you're the government. They have completed the investigation and containment phase of the incident response and have moved on to the restoration phase, where they work to bring critical systems back online. But at this time, the affected systems are still encrypted. Many of Atlanta's systems have now been down for 5 days, though critical systems such as police, fire, rescue, 911, water services, and airports are still operational and continue without interruption. Which is kind of sad, because if those things got crashed, maybe people might take backing up your files and updating your software a little more fucking seriously. The departments affected include the Department of City Planning and Office Buildings. Well, that's critical. Processing times are longer than normal. Office of Zoning and Development. Processing times are longer than normal. Oh boy, how are we going to live with that? Office of Housing and Community Development. The office is unable to process disbursement request. Good. The municipal court. The Department of Corrections has switched to a manual ticketing system for defendants who have been arrested and taken into custody. No failure to appear for court will be generated at this time, and all cases will be reset. Oh, man. All those people accused of parking tickets and shit like that. Justice is just not being served. And the Department of Watershed Management. Online bill payments and in-person bill payments are down. Oh, crippled. Mayor Bottoms. I love Mayor Bottoms. Mayor Bottoms has described this as, quote, bigger than a ransomware attack, this is an attack on our government, which makes it an attack on all of us, unquote. Actually, sweetie, no, it's not an attack on all of us. Now, you may say, great one, well, yeah, you don't live in Atlanta. Okay, if somebody did this to the, if the Fort Collins government computers got infected by ransomware because people were stupid, this would not be an attack on me. If anything, this would be fodder, this would be podcast fodder. This would be me having a good time. This would be me making fun of the government for not being able to secure their own fucking computers. But you dumbasses out there trust the government with all of your information? What's a government? Well, of course we trust the government. Oh, the government, they're so competent. I mean, without the government, who would build roads? She goes on to say that, quote, what has been attacked is digital infrastructure. As elected officials, we tend to focus on things people see. No, you tend to focus on fucking other people over for your own benefit. But we have to make sure that we focus on the things that people can't see, and digital infrastructure is very important, unquote. So the mayor of Atlanta has only now figured out that when your entire government record-keeping system and operation system and everything your government does, right, parking tickets, court records, billing, receipts, when everything your government does, what does the government of Atlanta do that they still write it on a piece of paper, right? Everything is in a computer. They've just now figured out that the digital infrastructure is important. The city does not currently have a time estimate for when they will get all of their systems back up and running. They are working around the clock. Oh, I'm sure these government employees, I bet they're slaving. And they are actually concerned that some of the team that has responded to the incident may burn themselves out. So they are managing that aspect of the task too. Oh, you poor babies. You might burn yourselves out. Oh, this is crisis level shit here. I wonder if Trump's going to send any federal dollars down here, declare this a disaster, and send them some of my tax money. Because I don't think they've got enough of my tax money with the FBI and all this other shit that's going on. They have confirmed that it was a remote attack that compromised their systems. Really? No shit. You mean the computers were infected remotely? You figured that out? That's fairly fucking obvious. Do you think the Russian hacker who fucking infected your computers with a goddamn ransomware virus, you think he actually flew to Atlanta and walked in the city office and like sat down at your computer and fucking wrote the code? Now, of course it was remotely infected, you fucking and this is what I'm talking about. The complete computer illiteracy of people in the government. People in government are some of the dumbest humans on the planet Earth. And yet you fucking sheeple who think you fucking can't do anything about it, you look to these people, well, it's the government. Well, they're in control. We need the government. Who would build roads? Where would we get water? Who would educate the children? The city was reportedly hit by Sam ransom. What do you mean reportedly? Either it was or it wasn't. What's this fucking link go to? As I say, they're working around the clock to resolve. There's nothing to resolve. Your shit's encrypted. You're not going to decrypt it. WXIA reported that SamSam ransomware was used to target Atlanta. The group behind SamSam is believed to have made almost $850,000 since December 2017. Is a quote from, who is this person? Steve Reagan, the CSO. Quote, the city has RDP exposed to the public as well as VPN gateways, FTP servers, and IIS installations. Most of them have SMB version 1 enabled, making the task of spreading the ransomware easier. In other words, you didn't have any fucking security on your goddamn fucking computer system. This ransomware variant has made the attack, blah, blah, yeah, we just said that. The city has many services exposed to the public, which could have provided an attacker with a point of entry. And of course, many services at SMB version 1, which has known security issues. Really? Well, look right here. From the fucking uscert.gov. Recommends users and administrators disable SMB version 1 and block all versions of SMB at the network boundary by blocking TCP port 445 with related port protocols on the UDP ports 137 and 138 and TCP port 139 for all boundary devices. Here it is, guys. This January, last revised March 16th, 2017. The federal government told you not to use this shit on your fucking computers because it's a security vulnerability, but the government Atlanta just kept on trucking because stupidity. Because without the government, who would build roads? Because it's just the computer system. You know, it's just, how much do they fucking want? $51,000? It's just $51,000 of taxpayer money. Fuck those taxpayers. And you dumbasses who voted for, you're putting up with this shit. Your fucking government isn't, my government's incompetent too. All governments are incompetent. Governments, by definition, are bodies of incompetent people because competent people could go get real jobs and actually create value for other humans and live happy, fulfilling lives. I think this is a valuable lesson. Yes, it is. Too bad nobody's going to learn from it. And something that WordPress site owners should take to heart. It is important to be proactive when it comes to securing your systems and educating yourself about cybersecurity. Do not wait until you get hacked before you take action. If you have a WordPress website, install a malware scanner and firewall like WordFence and use our blog to empower yourself to secure your website. We've also written about ransomware as an emerging threat in the past. Ransomware mainly targets desktop systems. To protect your home or office systems from ransomware attack, take the following steps. This is for all of you to listen and pay attention. Ensure you have regular backups. And as I said before, when I did the podcast where I talked about backing up strategy, it was actually in a podcast right after because I forgot to say this in the backing up strategy podcast, but this is exactly right. Ensure you have regular backups and that those backups are offline. They must not be accessible from the workstation that is being backed up to ensure the ransomware cannot also encrypt your backups when you get infected. Install the latest security patches. Install any application updates, especially browser updates. Make sure you're not running old browsers. Install a desktop antivirus solution. Do not open attachments or download files from untrusted sources, and do not click on links and email from people you trust. It's 2018. If we still have to tell you not to click on those fucking links and the fucking emails from Nigeria, you guys deserve what you get. One thing I found interesting about the mayor's comments was an analogy she used. She uses an example of an old truck she had. She didn't think she had to replace it until she was in a wreck, and then she had to replace it. Her analogy makes it clear that the city should have updated their security posture before this incident occurred, and now that it has occurred, they are forced to take action to resolve the issue and secure their systems going forward, but at great cost and inconvenience. Yes, this is because governments, despite anything you may have heard about hope and change and forward, governments are not exactly on the leading edge of progress. In this particular case, governments are not even on the leading edge of securing your computers, closing ports that are vulnerable, updating your software, installing antivirus software, backing up your systems, having redundancies. But hey, without the government, who's going to build roads? Without the government, who's going to inspect child seats? Baby car seats, baby seats, baby seats, whatever they're called. So I told you my friend had her kid, right? The girl who didn't want to get an abortion because her first abortion was so traumatic and she doesn't even like children and she's 40 years old and she had to go to the hospital and have the baby surgically removed because, I don't know, 40-year-old women aren't supposed to have babies. Oh, those ripples, they never come back, girls. The ripples don't fucking come back. So she was telling me that before she left the hospital with her kid, the social workers who descended upon her like vultures had to inspect her baby car seat to make sure it was not expired. Did you know that baby car seats expire? Oh, they do. I mean, that plastic will be here for the next 1,000 years. It's not going anywhere. But baby car seats expire. And her car seat was expired because it was a hand-me-down from somebody else. So she had to get another hand-me-down that wasn't expired. They would not let her leave the hospital. Remember in the olden, some of you don't. Back in the olden days when a woman was in the hospital, she had a baby, when it was time to leave, she went down to the car with her husband. She had a husband's? Oh my God, the patriarchy, that's so oppressive. Yes, her husband, you know, the man who was the actual biological father of the child in many cases, unlike today, she and the husband would go down to the car and he would get in the car on the driver's side and she would get in the car on the passenger side and hold the baby in her arms and they would drive home. I don't know how we fucking survived. I mean, how did the human species survive without fucking social workers inspecting baby car seats to make sure they're not expired and not allowing you to leave the hospital until you have a non-expired baby car seat? I don't know why I'm having so much trouble with that, but I am. Furthermore, my friend Alice told me that the social workers told her that 80% of people do not know. Hold on, let's type something into Google. Give me 1 second. Fucking, God damn, I fucking hate technology. I'm just over it, man. I am so fucking over it. Many people do not know how to install a baby seat. Let's see if this brings anything useful. Nope. Car install. Nope. Car Seat Confessions, 10 Things You May Not Know. What can you fucking not know about a goddamn baby fucking car seat? Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck you. All right, the social workers told my friend Alice that 80% of people do not know how to properly install a baby car seat. Think about that for a second. You put it in the seat and you put the seat belt around it. 80% of people don't know how to do that. And when you say people, what we mean, of course, is mothers. Because, okay, people without children aren't trying to install car seats. And since there's so many single mothers, there's this large number of women out there trying to install a car seat who don't have a man to help them because women don't need no man, fish, bicycle. So 80% of the people, who are mostly women, who try to install a baby car seat in their car to put the kid in it, don't know how to do it. Oh, but democracy is a wonderful thing, and we should let women vote. Speaking of dumb people, I was talking to a dumb person the other day, and the dumb person said unto me, so this is the dumb person who I told you about him. His wife asked for the divorce, and he's the one who had to sit in the car, and it hit home when he signed the papers with the lawyer, and he realized he needed a lawyer to protect him from the woman he was married to, and it was so painful because he was still in love with her and all this other horseshit. And by the way, I actually saw this woman and the three kids that she has spit out. And you know what? I kind of understand why, because the woman is not that attractive, but here's the thing. This guy, he is nowhere near attractive. Like on a 1 to 10 scale, this guy's probably a 3. The chick he's married to, I mean, she's not that hot, but she's definitely above his pay grade. She ain't overweight. She's got an okay butt. Face, and she's starting to, hey, the ripples are going. Those ripples aren't coming back, okay? She is taking on water. But even at her age, I mean, she's a 5. It's no wonder she's divorced. And with 3 kids, she's still a 5. There's no wonder she's divorcing him. She can do better. And she's going to get 50% of his money to go do better with. I was talking to him the other day, and he's all outraged about this and that. And he started bitching about how his internet connection is so slow, because these are first world problems, right? When your wife is divorce raping you, the big problem in your world is that your internet connection is slow. That might be another indicator of why you're getting divorce raped. And he mentioned that he pays $450 a month to Comcast for internet and television. And I really don't know what else, because I should have asked, like, what do you get for $450 a month? Can you imagine? These are, my God. I mean, I personally, having never paid for cable TV in my life and paying only for internet, which is $60 a month, I cannot imagine what would go through someone's brain. I mean, what can Comcast deliver to you that is worth $450 a month? Now, if you had a business with 1,000 employees and you needed really fast internet, okay, sure, maybe I could believe you would be paying a $450 a month Comcast bill. But for you who don't know, Comcast is a company here in the United States. They provide cable television and they provide internet connection. As far as I know, they don't provide anything else. You could stalk them on the internet and find out. Maybe there's shit I don't know. What can you possibly pay $450 a month for? And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, considering you're about to get divorce raped and lose 50% of all of your money, maybe you might want to stop paying Comcast $450 a month. Because in the very near future, that $450 a month is going to be the difference between you being able to pay your fucking alimony and your child support and still afford some beans and you being homeless and living on the goddamn street eating scraps out of the dumpster. The amount of disconnect people have between the real world and themselves, between consequences and themselves. I'm getting divorce raped, but I'll give $450 a month to Comcast. We are the government. We have all these computers, but we're not going to back anything up. We're not going to update our software. We're not going to turn off all of these fucking security holes that we've been warned about over a year ago. Because, hey, if we get infected with ransomware, well, it's just taxpayer money. Fuck it. We'll still get reelected because you fucking voters out there are stupid because you don't know how to install a goddamn car seat.